Morning. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about Jesus. How about you?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's well worth the investment in those shoeboxes. Yeah. Amen. It's worth the time and the investment. Is what we maybe could do is maybe take away some money from our Christmas gifts this year and give it to the shoebox. Yeah. Amen. I think that's a good idea. Praise the Lord. We don't have all the time in the world. We only got a certain amount of time that we can do this. So, you know, as we go forward, don't forget to pick up those shoe boxes. Get them now and start putting stuff in them so you don't forget. And pick up at least 4 to 5 to 6. I got a little bit of movement there, but praise the Lord. When you see heaven, you wish you got that many.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Praise the Lord. Well, I want those who again need healing in your body just to place your hand upon your chest. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, I believe the Holy Spirit here this morning is working in hearts and lives already, Father. And Lord, those who have their hands on their chest and need healing in their bodies, Father, I speak to their bodies in the name of Jesus. That the divine healing power that you've given us by Jesus, that by those 39 stripes, Father, we are healed physically also, Father. And I speak healing to everyone that needs it this morning in here, Father, that your divine healing power will flow like a fire into their lives right now, into their bodies, and that healing will manifest even as they sit in the service this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for that healing, that benefit that we've gotten through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we receive it by faith, and we thank you in advance for it, Father, for we know it is done. We know that is your will, that you brought healing to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I got one of those messages today. I just want to say again that God didn't call me here to make you happy. He didn't call me here to make you joyful. He didn't call me here to make you comfortable. He asked me to preach his word. To the best of my ability. And so that's what I'm going to do today. And this is subjects today that aren't popular in the church world today. But I'm going to speak on the invasion from hell. Now that doesn't sound like something, boy, I wish, you know, I wish you would have told me in advance I wouldn't have come today. And there may be some that didn't, I don't know. But I think it's vitally important because it's in the Word of God. And if it's in the Word of God, that means Jesus wanted us to know about it.
Yes.
Amen? It wasn't just put in there that we could skip over it because we didn't care to hear it. And we don't want to hear it because we got all of our own issues and problems in life. Well, the Lord knows that. But these are things that we need to be aware of even in the world that we're living today, because what's happening in the world today, God is moving the nations of the world right now.
Yes.
And there's things happening in this world that I believe are demonic inspired. I mean, you can just turn your TV on and watch some of the Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
And know that our world is being held hostage by demons. It literally, people are held hostage by them, by what they watch and what they listen to and what they look at. And so I just felt in my, especially with this holiday, so-called, coming up called Halloween, that there's things going on. You probably listen to the news how witches are praying against Kavanaugh and against Trump, and they're forming together in large bunches. And there's witches right now. I was reading on social media yesterday, this Christian this Christian witch in her church has invited people to come in and learn how to be a witch in the church. You can look it up yourself. It's in there. It's blatant. It's right out there. Satan, he's coming out of the woodwork and showing himself right now in ways you never ever thought you'd hear in our society. But now they're Christian witches, and it showed the room where this so-called Christian witch pastor was teaching other Christians within her church how to be good witches. So I figured if they're not afraid to do that, I'm not afraid to preach the gospel. Right. Amen.
Amen?
And I'm going to keep doing it because whether you believe it or not, there are Christians that are foolish enough to permit it to come into the churches. They come in through yoga. They come in through many different ways. But demon spirits, seducing spirits, are coming into churches in this end time. And Christians are accepting them. Instead of being in the Word of God and understanding what Jesus warned us against. So, invasion from hell. And I want to say this. God is in control. I'm not depressed, and I'm not running scared. I'm excited because Jesus said what was going to happen. And if you come in here this morning and I gave you this title, Invasion from Hell, and some of your, maybe your spirit's just so, well, let me read Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, because truly, I came here to bless you today. It says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So if you're not being blessed, that's your fault. Because you got to receive the word of God, understanding that this is our Lord that has given us his word to warn us of things in the time that we live. But we are to understand that he's in control. And we get a special blessing when we read this out of this book. And so I'm going to go forward here. Do you believe in the existence of angels? Do you believe in the existence of angels? You do? Okay, good. That's good. Survey shows that most people do. But did you know that the same survey taken that shows that many people don't believe in demons? They don't believe in them. And I tell you what, I don't understand that one bit. You can just walk out these doors, start walking down the street and see things and hear things, and you'll understand. See, if you believe in angels, you must also believe in fallen angels. Because Scripture teaches us that there's fallen angels. Well, I don't believe in all that hocus pocus. I don't believe in it. Jesus did. Jesus not only believed in them, but he often confronted them, didn't he? The time he dealt with an individual who was, at that time, possessed with literally hundreds of demons, if not thousands. Remember when Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he said, Legion. That could be 3,000 to 6,000 demons living in that one man. Because he said, my name is Legion and we are many. One person opened himself up to that kind of possession. If you watch the news at all, if you ever leave the house, you have to agree that the world we live in is controlled and influenced predominantly by Satan and his mighty army of fallen angels. That's what's happening today. We can look around the world and in our own country and look at the things that are happening today and understand it. You can find filth on television sets that you could never find before. The internet, you can look up the filthiest things you want to. And many young people, and not only young people, but even older people, even pastors, even Christians, opening things up and inviting demon spirits into their homes through the media. And into their own eye gate, their eye gate, ear gate. They're inviting them in by opening it up, and they don't understand the danger of it, that they're inviting demonic spirits to come into their homes and into their lives. The Bible calls Satan the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Scripture slightly opens the curtain of this invisible to give us a brief glimpse of the tremendous spiritual forces that are arrayed against the people of God. Listen to Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There it is, right there. Many times Christians don't understand that even some of the things that you're fighting in your own life right now could be demonically inspired. Why, that teaching that Lisa is leading, the spiritual warfare, putting on the armor, there's a reason for that. Many Christians, they'll blame God. They'll say, God, why don't you love me anymore? You don't care about me. God, you really exist. And they don't realize God warned us to what to do and gave us weapons for the warfare to fight even within our own homes. You know something? I don't know about you, but in my home, if I'm under warfare, I fight against demonic spirits because they come into churches too. And I come against them in the name of Jesus. I cast them. I command them to stay away from my home. Stay out of this church in the name of Jesus. I command you in the name of Jesus. Take authority over them. Resist them and they'll flee like scared jackrabbits because of that wonderful name. There's power, 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 wonder-working power in the name of Jesus. Amen. We need to remember that. See, this scripture here, it's telling us Satan has a great army of evil spirits against him in his work. And they are divided, to assist him in his work. They're divided into four categories: principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. They're listed right there in Ephesians 6:12, aren't they? Many Bible scholars believe this to be, there's an organized hierarchy involved here. Not just a bunch of bad guys with a leader, but they are highly organized in their work using a command structure, delegating orders, organizing wickedness upon the earth. That's what they're doing. Rapists. Demons of rape. Not just the women, but even of toddlers, 2 and 3 years old, elderlies in their 80s. Now that's depravity, which must be inspired by demons. In our society, that won't recognize that, but I believe it's demonically inspired, and Christians need to be walking in the power of the Holy Ghost, in the power in the name of Jesus, and call those demonic spirits out and command them to take a hike. Amen? Child abusers. Have you heard anything about child abuse in this world we live? I don't know if we could handle it if we had an actual reference of everything that's happening in children's lives today. Even parents defiling their own children in ways so horrible that they defy imagination. And that's depravity. That's depravity. And I believe that is inspired of demonic spirits also coming into the homes. And many times that's opened up by pornography coming into the homes and by things that that parents invite into their homes, and their children pay the price as well as they will. Or a mother that would drown her own children. That's not natural, is it? That's not natural, and we hear that on the news. Only a demon could accomplish such a thing as that. Murderers, not just killing their victims, but brutalizing. Even today in our society, MS-13 that Trump talks about on his going around the country, MS-13, he's trying to get out of this country. I believe they're demonically in spirit. They don't want to use guns and just kill somebody. They want to butcher them, cut them up into pieces. That's what they want. That's demonically inspired depravity that's coming up on the world, and it's getting blatant that nobody even comes against them hardly anymore or thinks anything of it. We get so desensitized to this type of stuff, even as Christians, we just sit there, But we got to be an army, people. We are the army of the Lord. We are soldiers of the cross. We are to get the word of God into people's homes, into their lives, and live the life out in order for us to be able to do it. Too many Christians are sitting on our thumbs in nice soft chairs, and we're not doing what God has called us to do, and the world is going to hell, literally. And God, that's why Jesus came. That's why I want to encourage you. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross with the good news. That's what got me saved, was that good news when I was on my way to an eternal hell. Jesus came into my life. I like that song too. Jesus came into my life. I think that's a song, isn't it? At least I heard it. Suicide bombers that kill themselves, hundreds of people. And the average, did you know that an average suicide bomber since 2000, with the suicides have taken place between the Palestinian and Jews alone, out of all those people that have blown themselves up, that only 3.5 people have been killed by those suicide bombers. Not even that many people, but they're sacrificing their own human life for what? To serve a dead God that doesn't even exist. I believe that's demonically inspired, and it's depravity to take God's creation. They've killed thousands in those attempts. What kind of person is willing to do that with so little results? A person which is possessed and controlled and inspired by demons. There's more people, and I've said this before, there's more people than you realize that are demon-possessed in our world. There are. They can be in our jobs. They can be in our schools. They can be in our grocery stores. They can be in our neighborhoods. They can be wherever. Did you know that there's witches in high places and businesses, even in the Twin Cities here, if you go research it? A lot of these big companies are led by people actually practicing witchcraft, leading companies. Their demons are on the move. They're on the move, and we need to be aware of that. Look at Timothy McVeigh, who called children that he killed. He called them collateral damage. What kind of person would do that? And the Satanists are not, you know, it's not just the heavy metal rockers that we look at, that we think of, or the members of the Church of Satan which sacrifice cows and goats and drink the blood. Satanists are just like the people in New Mexico, where a small boy was put into a coffin with a straw to breathe through, then poured in thousands of fire ants, and later referred to in the 15 minutes of slow death torture which ensued as a sacrifice to Satan. That's going on today in our world, people. And see, when I read this in the scripture, what Jesus is talking about, I get excited because I realize that we have an opportunity, as long as I have breath in my body, and to live that life out in a world that is trying to destroy God's creation. That's what Satan's trying to do. And these people that are being sacrificed to a loser. Satanists are also in other forms, like lost people who allow Satan, and they allow him in by the ear gate. They allow him into the ear gate by what they listen to. The aforementioned trash I was talking about. I wouldn't want to dwell on this stuff every day, would you? It wouldn't be good. But see, that's what people are feeding on. That's what teenagers are feeding on in their homes when they're playing these games, these destructive games where people are being killed, shot, cut up, or whatever. And this is going into their ear and eye gates of their soul, and that's what they're focused on. And then you wonder why children are so rebellious today in homes and so rebellious today in schools and every place else, because that's what they're feeding on. And whether you believe it or not, it affects us. That's why when dad sits in a home and he might be watching something or shouldn't, or at the office or wherever, or on his phone, it's going to affect dad one way or another. And when it affects dad, it affects the whole home. It affects the children, the wife, the whole thing. And same thing with women. You got Harry Potter books in your house? You got little trolls and dolls in your house? See, some people don't even realize Satan attaches himself to inanimate objects too. They don't realize that. I was listening to a testimony where on Sid Roth, I think it was, or whatever, where somebody gave him a red cloth and he put it in his pocket. It was from a witch. He didn't know it at the time, but things started to happen in his life. And then make a long story short, he found out about it and realized what was happening. Did you know that witches even go into churches? They literally sit in churches and pray against the leadership. They pray against the people, and they sit there. That's what they are commanded to do. Does that put fear in me? Absolutely not. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I approached one of those witches one time in Menards in Elk River. I knew it was a witch. I knew that they were in our church. And they didn't know I was in there, and all of a sudden I come around a corner and I was face to face with them. And I thought, this is interesting. I just stood there and looked at them in myself, saying, in Jesus' name, and they kind of glared at me and took off on a dead heat. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is leading a witch. And when I was overseas, I had a warlock say to me that he's putting curses on me. And I was standing next to him, and I looked at him, and I said, every curse that you put on me, I'm going to ask God to put double back on you in Jesus' name. And the guy took off running. Now, it isn't because I'm so powerful and so spiritual. It's because who lives in me. Because on myself, I could do nothing. And some Christians, though not possessed, allow themselves to be demon oppressed when they take part in some of the acts of wickedness. The goal is not to depress you today, people, honestly. I'm working hard. I don't want you to be depressed. This is in here for a purpose. This is in here for to encourage us, to warn us, and to be active in our Christian walk. And you know, when I read this stuff in Scripture about what I'm going to cover shortly here, I get so excited. Because I realize that's why Jesus Christ came to earth and died on Calvary's cross, in order to protect me from what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. He died on Calvary's cross. He made it possible so I could avoid what's going to happen up on planet Earth by what he did on Calvary's cross and by me accepting it. And too many people want to drown this out, but this is one of the most encouraging books you could ever read. Because when you share this with someone that doesn't believe it, the Holy Spirit knows how to get a hold of a heart. But you can do it with excitement. Are you excited? If you're in here this morning, you're born again. Are you excited that you're saved? Are you excited that you are blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled, pew-jumping, demon-chasing Christian? I am. I'm really excited about it. Have been since I've been saved. Still am. I've been saved, I think you're right, around 40-some years now. And I'm probably more excited today than I was back then. Because I see the power and the hand of God moving in lives as well as my own throughout my life. See that? And again, we all know the world's in bad shape, don't we? And Satan's behind it. Satan's behind. I read it in Ephesians 6:12. He's behind it. The evil that's happening in the world, Satan is behind it. It's demon spirits that he's got working in this world, in your home, in your life, trying to destroy you, trying to destroy this nation, trying to destroy this world. Ever working. But as bad as things are today, as much influence and power as demons have today, do you realize that the worst of Satan's demons have never been loosed upon the earth yet? The worst ones haven't been loosed yet. Billy Graham, I remember several years ago, was quite a few years ago now, considering how old he is, but I remember one time on television, he sat there and he said, there's going to be a day when hell is going to vomit demons upon the earth. I believe we're here. Have been here. That's right. The worst haven't been loosed yet. The worst of the worst are held in chains today. And people, I tell you what, if you got any sin in your life or your family is practicing sin, warn them to get out of it, because there's going to be a greater damage coming to their lives than they never ever thought possible to deceive them, which many are today. There are demons that are so evil, so insidious, so destructive that God in his mercy, he's kept them incarcerated ever since they followed Lucifer and fell like stars from heaven. During the tribulation period, those demons will be liberated for a period of 5 months for the purpose of tormenting mankind in a judgment that defies description of our minds. It's going to happen. It is literally an invasion from hell that is coming upon the earth from these worst demons. When you study the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation chapter 6 who rode into town ushering in a tribulation, sometime after the rapture ushers out the born-again Christians. That happens after the Christians are gone. Aren't you excited about that? I am. You can see it doesn't take a whole lot to get me excited. Because what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. The Antichrist led the way, bringing his dominion and division, his deprivation and death and wars and wholesale starvation, leading to the deaths of a quarter of the world's population. By today's numbers, that's well over a billion people that will be impacted and annihilated upon the earth. Over a billion. But as bad as that sounds, the worst is yet to come. The worst is yet to come. When you look at the first four trumpet judgments in Revelation chapter 8, where one third of the earth's vegetation is annihilated, speaking of the trees and the grass, marine life killed, ocean waters turned to blood, fresh water poisoned, sunlight diminished, and the impact could be more famine and drought and floods and mudslides, almost unbreathable air. And as yet, as horrible as these realities were, as we finish chapter 8, we were reminded that the worst is yet to come. It's going to happen. Look what's happening in our world today with all the hurricanes and the tornadoes and all the mudslides and all the different things happening around the world. And earthquakes are by the hundreds, literally, if you go into your phone and bring up earthquakes today. Probably today there's going to be hundreds of them again. And they're happening more and more and more. I think the world is saying, Jesus, come. I think it is. Revelation chapter 8, verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Revelation 9:12. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. You see that? The first four of the seven trumpets were aimed at ecology, the earth itself, but the last three trumpet judgments are directed at man himself, at God's creation. Revelation 9:1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. The key of the bottomless pit. Did you hear that? This is not just a star, but it's a hymn. It's a hymn. This is Satan himself granted permission from God Almighty to take the key to the bottomless pit where demonic forces perhaps more vicious than even him himself and reserved in chains of darkness. Incidentally, that's where Satan is going to end up, in the bottomless pit for all eternity. At this point in the tribulation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who holds the keys of death and hell, given the key to Satan for a period of 5 months. Who's in control? Who's in control? Jesus is. He gave Satan those keys for a time, but he's in control because they're his keys. He's in control. Satan opens the doors of hell, and 5 months of demons of the worst kind infest this world. Obviously, demons are at work in the world today, but these demons, they're incarcerated for eons of time, are so vile, so filthy and wicked that they have been confined for thousands of years in the pit of the abyss. And I don't think they're going to be in a good mood when they come out of there, to be honest with you. I don't think they will be. They will be loosed upon this earth, and they will unleash their venom in ways unimaginable, people. We can't even imagine what these evil things are going to be doing upon planet earth. I'm so thankful Jesus came. Yes. Remember Matthew 8 when Jesus confronted the demon-possessed maniac of Gadara? The demons begged and pleaded Jesus that they would not cast him into the abyss. Don't do it. I wonder if they knew something you and I don't. Why were they so afraid that he would send them there? Maybe it's because they had friends in low places. I remember in a Assembly of God church here a year or two ago down south that had a Western singer come in to entertain the congregation. And his song, I listened to it, actually the sermon, the service. And he was singing about, I've got friends in low places drinking whiskey and wine in church. And the congregation was just hooting and hollering, clapping for this guy. See, it's because these demons may have had some friends down there that don't get out much. And they're crazy mad people. They're crazy mad. We're seeing our world go crazy mad right now. Just turn on Fox News. We're going, there's demon-inspired people by the thousands rising up in America right now today. Literally demon-inspired. You can see it. You can hear it. And so these demons, they beg for mercy and ask to be cast into the swine. You remember that story? Throw us into these swine. And Jesus sent them into the pigs. The demons so evil and filthy, the pigs went crazy and went down and they drowned themselves. That's how they came up with deviled ham. I don't know that. I just thought I'd give you a little bit of humor in this message today. See, their friends, the demons now held in chains in the pits of the abyss, the bottomless pit, are loose upon the earth. Hell is going to have a holiday, people. It's going to have a holiday. It's a literally invasion from hell, the bottomless pit, upon planet earth. So real quickly, I'm going to finish this sermon by looking at some Bible descriptions of these demons. And here's seven words to describe them. And this is for those who said that I can make it through the tribulation. No big deal. I'll be there with my friends. We'll be drinking, having parties, and it'll be a cool time. I know how to get around this stuff because I'm really good at what I do. Or the ones that say, yeah, I go to hell, I'll be there with my friends. We'll have parties all the time. Boy, if the demons aren't speaking to those guys. And I even knew that before I was a Christian. Revelation 9:2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And you can verify this pit in Numbers chapter 16, verse 33, where it speaks of the pit, hell itself. And then if you want to, people, you can even go into Isaiah 66, verse 24, and where God says that we will be able to look in at the carcasses of those who rebelled against God for all eternity to see the outcome of what their rebellion did. You can read it yourself. I believe there's at least one channel, if not more, up on this earth that leads right down into that bottomless pit, the center of the earth. That's where that smoke's going to come out of. People can laugh and mock. I could care less. I'm going to believe what Jesus said. See, this once again reiterates the point. The point made countless other times in Scripture that hell is a literal furnace of fire. Literally. I believe in angels and demons. I believe in heaven and hell. And I believe it, which Jesus spoke of, twice as much as heaven. Did you know that? He spoke more on those subjects than he did heaven because he wanted to warn his creation of what was coming that was prepared for the demons and the devil. See, I don't like to preach about it. I don't even like to think about it, to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to imagine my worst enemy going to the literal furnace. I wouldn't want to do it. The furnace of fire with Jesus himself spoke of him himself in Scripture, Matthew 13:42. And shall cast him into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's coming, no matter how anybody wants to block it out of their mind or say it's just a fairy tale book. Jesus said it. I believe it.
Amen.
Everything else in this world has come to pass that God, this scripture has talked about from the Old Testament up to where we're at today. It's fulfilled. Many, many scriptures. This will be also. Jesus believed and so do I. And if I care at all, then I'm going to preach it. Even if I'm not politically correct, I'm going to preach it. I'm commanded to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Did you know that?
Yes.
I'm commanded to do that. And by God's grace, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. When I face my Lord someday, I'd rather have him say to me, Lynn, you took my word too literally. Then, Lynn, you explained away my word too easily. And it's a place of literal fire as proven by the rich man in Luke chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar. By the way, this is not a parable. They actually name names here. It's not a parable. This is reality. Seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Did you hear what the rich man said? Just dip your finger in water and put it on the tip of my tongue. To relieve himself of the torment of the flame that he was in, just that one drip of water. It was so hot and so tormented there. I'll drink this, by the way. That was my finger that went in there. And I thought it was interesting too, for I am tormented in this flame. And I don't know, this is just my thinking out loud. Are we each going to have that own, not each, I mean only those that are going to hell, going to have their own flame? Or is it just one big flame? I don't know. I am tormented in this flame. Just think of the torment that that man was going in. That was just the beginning. He's still being tormented today. He's still there. That rich man is in hell, still being tormented. And this is the literal furnace of the fire of hell out of which these demons ascend. They are infernal. Let me say this. If you're not saved this morning, if you're not born again and you die before this time that I'm talking about, not right now, you will already be in this place. And you may sit here and say, I'll get saved before it happens. I'll commit my life to Christ before that happens. Well, you have no guarantee about the next moment of life. You're this far, far away from eternity. That heart stops, you're gone. And so many people don't understand that. There's people dying every moment while we're sitting here in this world. And there's people dying in churches. There's people dying everywhere. That's this world. It's a dying world. Don't listen to liberal preachers who try to explain the gospel away. Don't listen to them. They're out there today because nickels and numbers are more important than souls. How big of a church can they get? I don't care about that. I mean, I like it that souls are getting saved. But where two or three are gathered in my name, he's here. That's the important part. And God says, I'll build my church. See, Matthew 13, 42 again. And shall cast him into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus believed and so do I. And if I care, I am going to continue preaching this word. Revelation 9:3, it says, and there came out of the smoke locust upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. This is going to happen. These demons are described by John as locusts, and I don't know if they're literal or symbolic, but they're locusts. Why does John use the term locust to describe these demons? Could it be that there's going to be an unbelievable number of locusts? I looked up on the internet just for fun, because in the Middle East, locusts are known for their swarms, and they're by the hundreds and thousands of millions of them. And I looked in there, and I think it was 2013, they literally had locusts swarming the grounds in the Middle East area of the world. Literally millions of them. And they're dangerous because they eat all the green stuff. They can bring starvation to a country or whatever. But that's what's going to happen here in Revelation. The Bible says that Satan was thrown out of heaven when he rebelled, along with one third of the angel, the fallen angel. See what rebellion does? Back in Revelation 5, we saw that just the angel choir alone in heaven could be in the millions strong. That's just the choir. Can you imagine that? All those millions of angels up there singing and praising God. And listen to this. Out of those millions, and a third of them fell, and most of them, the worst of them, will be loosed upon the earth for the first time and will on that day pour out like a dark cloud of bats from a cave to terrify the earth. They are hellish. They are diabolical. They're fiendish. They are direct from hell. And they are infernal. And secondly, they're intolerable. Revelation 9, verses 4 and 6, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Think how vicious these things must be. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Did you hear that? And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Just think, they're literally going to try to kill themselves, and it isn't going to work. See, people that want to kill themselves don't understand that their problems just begin. They just begin. Satan lies. They lie. Revelation 9:10, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Have you ever been pricked by a rose? Oh, just one little prick? Ow! 5 months, men. There's going to be a lot of them. There's going to be men that are going to be tortured for 5 months upon this earth because they rebelled against God. See, we cannot begin to imagine the physical pain that these demons will bring upon people. The strongest human instinct we have, people, is self-preservation. Amen? Revelation 9:6 says, those on the earth will desire to die and will attempt suicide and will be unable to do it, unable to escape torment. They can't even pull the dirt over themselves. They can't do it. See, the world has such a warped view of Satan. The devil and his forces have always desired to torment people. That is their primary goal, to do evil. And that's what happens in many Christian homes today, too. There's demonic influence destroying Christian families, and they're letting them do it instead of standing against them. Take authority over them in the name of Jesus. Why is it that so many people have mistaken the idea that Satan is their bro? And God's their enemy. All the things that are happening. God, why did you do this? Not knowing there's demon spirits behind it. Listen to this. I just listened to this just the other day, October 17th at 3:32 in the afternoon. I just listened to this. How many know who Rihanna is? The singer? I didn't know her until I read this because I don't listen to him. Here's what the singer Rihanna said to a group of children. This got to break your heart, Sandra, for your passion for the youth. She has told a group of children that, quote, praying to Jesus is a waste of time, unquote. And that, quote, Satan is the only one that will make your dreams come true, unquote. This is out of her words at an actual event. I actually wrote that down so I could read it to you. The singer told a group of her young fans that, quote, asking for help from someone who doesn't exist is the definition of stupidity, unquote. During a visit to her native Barbados, she was speaking at an official ceremony organized by the Barbarian government, who had renamed to the street she grew up in her honor. She took the opportunity to give some advice to young Bajan children who wanted to follow in her footsteps. And you know how young children are with these movie stars and these singers. They want to emulate them. Quote, "How many of you have prayed to Jesus for years, prayed with all your heart, and got nothing back from him?" Unquote. Rihanna asked the audience, comprised mostly of children and early teens, quote, "Hands up, be honest, it's okay," unquote. After a few of the children raised their hands, the diamond singer said, quote, "Jesus doesn't care about you. Do you really think he's even listening? He doesn't even exist. Hot tip, y'all, because you are my people, stop wasting your time, be efficient, go straight to Satan," unquote. That's her actual words. That's what's coming out of Hollywood. That's what Christian people allow their children to emulate and watch in the homes. Not all, but some. But that's what's coming out of Hollywood. And I've read of other movie stars who literally sold themselves because they wanted success, money, and prestige and honor more than anything. And they actually sold themselves over to Satan in order to get that. And this lady has too. Satan loves that. But think of the young children are being influenced by these types of people today. Think of some of your children have already been influenced by this stuff. And you're dealing with it. It's demonically inspired stuff. These people are dabbling in the satanic, in the witchcraft, in the occult, in everything. And they're coming out and they're pushing it up on society. And we're watching it even in the political part of it today on television. For 5 months of the tribulation, Satan and his demons will have free reign to do what they want to do. Everyone, torment them with pain and suffering, physical torment, emotional, psychological torment, and they won't be able to die. Tell your loved ones that don't know Jesus. Tell your loved ones that are backslidden, this is what's going to happen. Don't care if they laugh at you. I don't. And Satan, that crafty devil, tempts us with sin, which looks so alluring, so inviting, when he knows full well at the end of that sin will bring brief sorrow and pain and torment into our lives. See a sheep at a slaughterhouse. To get the sheep to go up a ramp to where they are killed, they place a goat on the ramp, trained to climb the ramp. And the sheep follow the goat. When the goat gets to the top, is let through a gate, and his life is spared, but the sheep are turned the other way and are killed. See, if we could hear the goat somehow, I believe he'd be laughing as he does this task time after time after time. Young people, we don't have a lot in here this morning. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But this morning we don't have a lot, but the ones that are here, and of course I'm really old, so you're really young, okay? So that might have more in here than I'm thinking about. Young people, listen, Satan will tempt you to do wrong, and you'll make it look so alluring, so promising, but when you're lying face down in your own vomit, yes, or staring at a hospital ceiling, or worse, or if your life is snuffed out, don't expect any sympathy from the devil. Don't expect it. The old goat will do nothing, but he'll laugh at you. And Satan has laughed at many of our youth today because they've given into it because mom and dad aren't living the way they're supposed to in the home. And that's not an excuse for the young person, because when they are old enough to know better, it's their responsibility too. His desire is to bring pain, for he knows that sin bringeth forth death. The soul that sinneth shall die, and the wages of sin is death, eternal death it's talking about. Satan knows that lust, when conceived, brings forth sin and death, and the most powerful form of LSD is lust, sin, and death. These demons are infernal, and they're intolerable, and they're irresistible. Revelation 9:7, it says, "And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle." Revelation 9:9, "And they had breastplates," that were breastplates of iron, "and the sound of their wings were a sound of chariots of many horses running to battle." Can you imagine that going throughout the earth, torturing man? See, they will be irresistible in the sense that they are unstoppable. Nothing will be able to stop them except Jesus, like a charging steed conquering everywhere, everyone in their path. Nobody will escape. Resistance will be futile. There will be no escape during this time, according to what I read in here. And then they'll be invincible. Revelation 9:7, and on their heads were it as were a crown like gold. This signifies that they are in full control. They are the ruling world, just like they have always wanted. The very reason they were thrown out of the kingdom of God. They are the gods, the kings of this world. Gay rights crowds will be there, and they will have their chance to follow their king. New age crowd, pro-abortion crowd, the Islamic terrorists, and the fearful, the deceived, among many others, will be there and will have a chance to follow their king. The only problem is they will quickly learn that their king's desire all along was their destruction. And all those crowds just mentioned are basically saying the same thing right now. If we could get rid of those Christians. Get rid of those right-wing fundamentalists out of power. Conservatives, Bible literists, fanatics, out of the way, the world would be a better place. Isn't that the cry today? I heard it on Fox News. It's turning. Christians are the problem. Don't let that stop you from witnessing. Do more of it. For greater is he that is in me. I hereby serve notice by the way of reminder that the rapture, it's going to happen. Amen. They're going to get their wish. Did you know that? Yes. Christians are going to be taken out of the way. Amen. They're going to have it. We're going to fly. Literally, we are going to be gone from all this pain, all this suffering, all this heartache. God is going to pull us out because we chose to take this salvation message. And that's why I want to encourage Christians. You need to get your life in order if it isn't. Because we are at the brink of the coming of the Lord. Because we are literally seeing the beginning of things happening, spoken of in Revelation, starting in our world right now. And it's happening quickly. It's happening while you're sleeping. It's happening while you're working every day. And Jesus even warned it'll be like a regular day. I'm paraphrasing. A regular day when everything seems norm. Nothing is new. Everything's going the way it is. There's buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage and all these things. And all of a sudden, sudden destruction. Christians will be raptured off the earth and then sudden destruction, and it'll be too late. Those of us who have been saved, born again, will be ushered out in the tribulation of horrors we're reading about. They'll be ushered in upon them. And I take no joy in serving this notice, by the way. We love them and we want them to be saved to avoid the wrath. That's why we witness. That's why I witness. That's why we preach the word. That's why we teach the word. That's why we speak the word. That's why we live the word. We can reach some of these people before it's too late. But though, for those who do not believe, there will be an invasion from hell that will be infernal, intolerable, irresistible, and invincible. And I'm almost done. They'll also be intelligent. It says in Revelation 9:7, and their faces were as the faces of men. That speaks of intelligence. They are highly organized, extremely intelligent beings. They are not just wild animals, but will have the gift of reason and intelligence above our own. And they'll also be insidious. Revelation 9:8, and they had hair as the hair of a woman. And that represents beauty, by the way. They may appear at first glance to be alluring and attractive. The Bible talks about the seducing spirits, referring to demons. And there are many Christians that are seduced by demonic spirits, even in churches, even in their homes, even amongst other people. They're not discerning in their spirit that they are being motivated by demons and seduced by demons, looking at something, perceiving that this is beautiful. This is what God would do. This is spiritual. This is all these things that are really great and wonderful. They don't realize there's seducing spirits behind it. It's keeping them asleep, not aware of their being deceived and put to sleep. Seducing spirits. But if you're not saved and you're left behind at the rapture, when you see this long-haired beauty coming your way, you better look out beyond the mascara and the curls. And the Revelation 9:8 says, and their teeth were as teeth of lions. Man, that had to be a beauty, huh? Their real desire is to attack and devour. What's the enemy do? He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's how the insidious these demons are, and that's how Satan is today. TV and billboards glamorize sin, but don't show you the end of that road, which is misery. Satan is disguised as an angel of light, but truly is the demon of darkness roaming like a lion seeking to devour and end in death for us if we follow him. So they are insidious. Lastly, they are indivisible. They're indivisible. Revelation 9:11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. And this is not the devil. This is a leader, a devil, a destroyer, a chief demon who leads the invasion from hell on earth. This general leads the rank of the file in an organized destruction of those left behind in the tribulation. What would the world be like if every prison opened its doors and released every single prisoner right now? What do you think this world would be like? And they're already starting to do that. With no police force. And they're trying to do that too. Take away, right? We're living there. We're hearing it. I don't care what side of the fence you are. It's demonic. They're nuts. See, America alone has approximately 2 million people behind bars. And in every 125 American men is incarcerated. Worldwide estimates they're astounding. What if at 8 p.m. tonight, every rapist, every cutthroat, child molester, and thief was released out of prison tonight at 8 o'clock? I probably wouldn't get any of you into church. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't leave your home. You would barricade yourself in and you'd take up arms. And yet that is nothing like the invasion from hell, which will happen during the tribulation. Nothing like it. It's going to be worse than that. The demons of chapter 9 are not human. They're superhuman and they're inhuman. And you say, Pastor, you're trying to scare me. I am. For fear of hell and judgment are not a bad reason to get saved at all. It's not a bad reason. I'd rather scare you into heaven than to lull you into hell. That's what I'd rather do. And if you're not saved, you better get saved. And if you're not saved, you ought to be scared. Because this is going to happen. And the worst is yet to come. And you don't want to be here. Let's all stand, please. And if you say, well, Pastor, I know all this stuff, and that's good. You need to hear it again to refresh yourself. This is the real world that's coming. And if you say, well, I'm prepared, I'm ready, then you need to go tell a loved one in your home. You need to go talk to the backslider in your home that's not living for Jesus, that terrible times are coming upon the earth, whether you believe it or not. You need to repent. You need to get right. And with every head bowed this morning, is there anybody in here say, Pastor, I need to get my life right? Because it could start today, people. The rapture could happen even before I leave this building. And are you going to be ready? Is there anybody in here say, Pastor, I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready for the rapture. Is there anybody? Just put your hand way up in the air. God sees. God sees. Lord, you see the hand. You see the hand. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? I'm going to ask you all to pray with me along with the person who put their hand up. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Amen? Heavenly Father, now let me just say this quickly. Prayer doesn't save you. Prayer doesn't save you. Repentance and living for Jesus Christ, once you ask him into your life and being obedient to his word and living it out as he's sanctifying your life, The prayer is just a starting point. The rest takes work. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins from the day I was born to where I stand before you right now. I ask that the blood of Jesus wash the sins from my life away. Take them from me, Jesus. Put them into the sea of forgetfulness, as your word says. And I ask that the Holy Spirit will come and live within me. And Lord, I desire to live for you, to commit my life to you. And I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I believe you came to earth. I believe you died on Calvary's cross. And I believe you died. And I believe you rose again. And now you live within me. And I give myself to you now, Jesus. With your help, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, help me to live as a Christian. In Jesus' name, I now receive you, Lord. I believe I'm born again. And I need you, Lord, to help me to live out this life. In Jesus' name, amen. And when you give your life to Jesus, when you give your life to Jesus, one of the greatest things you can do, I learned as a young man. I was 21 years old when I gave my life to Jesus. And I remember the pastor said, go tell somebody. Go tell them that Jesus saved you. And that's what I did. I went and told my parents. I told my sister. I told my brother. I told people. I didn't just tell one person. I got excited that Jesus took my sins away. And I tell you, when you share your the step that you made, it solidifies something within you, and it brings accountability to when you give your life to Jesus. Because now people say, hey, Lynn says he's a Christian now, and now they watch what I do. And the devil's going to come along. He'll come along, and he'll lie to you, and he'll say, that wasn't real. That was just an emotional time. The preacher just hit on a good number that day. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a lie. It's real. And you got to cast those out, because Satan is a liar, the father of lies. But it's important to tell somebody, vitally important to tell somebody. And I want you, before you leave, I'd like you to come up, and I want to pray for over you too, before you leave, if that's okay. I'm not ordering you, you have to, but I'd like to, because I care about you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, they're not so exciting or anything, but Father, there are things Jesus talked a lot about because he loves his creation so much. He wanted us to be aware and to warn the world what's coming if we don't repent. And Lord, I pray over every family that's represented here, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would move upon their hearts and lives, and that they'll have a deeper desire, a thirst, and a hunger to go out and live the life and share it with the lost whenever possible. And Lord, as they do, Lord, you said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that we have needed will be added onto us. So Lord, as I go out and do the work for you, you're taking care of my bills. You're taking care of my health. You're taking care of my family. You're taking care of my home. You're taking care of my school. You're helping me with this. You're helping me do that. But I'm to seek you first, Lord. And I pray that be upon every home here, Lord, that you would touch every home and move upon every home spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Everybody says, with your help, Lord, I will live my life to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Shake somebody's hand and tell them, Jesus is coming and I'm excited. Young man, you want to come up? I'd love it.